Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley Today each weekday from 12:30 to 1 on the River 953, I also produce podcasts. And I'm excited to introduce you to a new podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every week, we'll be releasing a new podcast where we interview different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll even get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. We're going to talk to linemen, energy advisors, board members, even the CEO. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode as they're released on our website under the podcast tab at theriver953.com, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify, anywhere you listen to a podcast. Just search for We Are REC. We are having a conversation today with Cody Lockhart and Brian Michael. They are both linemen with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative, and you guys are about to go on what I would consider to be the adventure of your lifetimes. But you're both kind of pretty young, so maybe I shouldn't be putting all of that in this basket. You guys are getting ready to go to Bolivia to work on this United We Light project that we talked about in a few podcast episodes ago. Are you excited?
Yes, I'm very excited.
Yes, ma'am.
So let me back up for a minute, though. You guys are both linemen with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative now. Cody, how long have you been with Rappahannock Electric?
I've been here 8.5 years.
Were you a lineman somewhere else? Did you learn how to become a lineman through REC?
I was not a lineman before, and REC did all my training for me.
Oh, well, so you kind of started at the apprentice level and then worked your way all the way through.
Yes, ma'am.
How about you, Brian?
9 years and roughly the same thing.
Oh, that's kind of cool. So did you guys kind of know when you were like growing up that you wanted to be a lineman? Were you, I assume neither one of you are afraid of heights, because that would be kind of a silly career choice to make.
When I was a kid, I never thought twice about how we got our power supplied. As I got older and then being an adult and was looking for a career, it just had an opportunity and I took it, and I've enjoyed it ever since.
About the same with me. I've been in utility work for over 14 years now, and it is a great career.
What is your favorite thing about the job? I mean, do you prefer doing your regular day-to-day stuff, or do you kind of get a rush when there's an outage and you get called out to have to go into a situation and fix something pretty quickly?
Yeah, I enjoy the outages, like storm trouble and stuff. When you get to put somebody else's power back on, or they have children and they come out and they yell out the window or the door, thank you, and people are bringing you food on major storms, or their children are drawing you pictures and stuff, I really enjoy that.
Outage restoration, I would say that's my favorite part, and definitely interacting with the members after power is restored. Their response is usually worth all of it.
Well, because you're the hero. I mean, even if we only lose power for 10 minutes, you don't realize how much you use your power in your house until it goes out. How many times you flip on a light switch, how many times you walk over to the fridge or the microwave or any of those things that require power until you don't have power, and then you're like, oh, wait, this isn't going to work until these guys get it back up and running. So what do you think the impact is going to be that you're going to have on this village in Bolivia once you get there? Because these people have never had power, so they don't even have something necessarily to compare it to.
Yeah, we're going to change people's lives over there. From what I understand, the area we're going in, the main source of business is a crop that they grow. And when we supply the power there, they're going to use that to grow their businesses, to supply that crop to the rest of Bolivia, hopefully bring more families back to that area. Because from what I understand, a lot of the children, a lot of the younger families moved closer to the cities to have power and stuff. So we're hoping that we'll grow the communities more.
Yeah, hopefully promote growth once more modern things get to these places for the first time.
The whole opportunity for revitalization. Brian, when this whole project came up, did you guys have to apply? Were you approached? How did it get decided, more or less, which of you guys from this particular office were going to be going on this project?
The way I understand it was just sheer luck. It was names thrown in a hat, and it was at random.
Oh, y'all went out and bought lottery tickets that afternoon.
it was done on a lottery type deal, and we do have linemen going from all three of our shops, Blue Ridge, Bowling Green, and Culpeper. There is 4 of us total linemen going, as well as John Medved, and he's in our safety department. He's actually the lead on the trip.
And then I think Ryan has done a podcast before. He's going to go and kind of be the official documentarian and videotape and do that as well. What attracted you to the project in general? I mean, you mentioned earlier about being able to kind of provide this to these communities. Are you nervous at all about the trip itself and what you're going to encounter when you get there?
Yeah, what really interested me in the trip was how it's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Just in my regular life, I probably wouldn't get an opportunity to travel to Bolivia. So to get to go down there and work and provide this service to people that's never had power before, I'm hoping to be able to take away a lot from that.
From what I understand, it's going to be a very humbling experience. And one of the things, like we've said, we enjoy with outage restoration, talking to the members or customers and how happy they are to see us then. The folks that we're going to help have never even experienced that. So it should be through the roof in comparison.
Have you kind of been given an idea of the job itself that you're going to have to do there? Is it going to be very similar to what you're doing here, aside from the fact that we already have power here? I mean, how are the two jobs going to compare to what you're going to do there versus what you do here on a regular basis?
It's going to be more of a bare bones there. There are no trucks or your more modern tools. It's going to kind of be like what happened here 100 years ago. We're going to be on our hooks the entire time. I believe we're going to have a pickup truck at our disposal. Other than that, we're stringing new line and climbing poles. And
so there's not going to be bucket trucks. There's not going to be cherry pickers. There's not going to be any of technology really either, because you kind of need power in some cases to run a lot of that technology.
Right. What we can take as far as packing with us, as far as hand tools, anything modern that we can use to our advantage that we can take with us. Some things are going to be provided by the company that's down there. Other than that, everything's going to be done by hand. The only advantage we have going down, the only thing that's going to be done is all poles and anchors will be installed prior to us getting there. So the only thing we're doing is stringing wire.
Have you had to do workouts? When was the last time either one of you manually climbed a pole before you realized you were going to take this trip? Is that something you do on a regular basis anyway?
Fairly.
Yeah, especially on storm trouble. There's a lot of times when it rains or snows or something like that, you can't get a truck close to a pole, so you climb to do what you need to do. So we still climb a good bit. And leading up to this trip, when we found out we were going, we both actually joined the local gym and tried to get some better cardio in. We've been doing some running just because the higher elevation out there was a concern, so we were trying to get better cardio in.
We figured anything we could do would help our situation with the elevation we're going to be at, considering it's going to be 11,000 plus from what we've been told.
Because that's the other piece of the puzzle. You have no control over that either, and that's a whole different scenario if you've never really experienced that kind of high elevations.
Yes, ma'am. As soon as we get off the plane, once we arrive in Bolivia, my understanding is we're already going to be above 7,000 feet, so that's above a mile already. That's just at the airport. We have to take another flight and a fairly long bus ride after that to get to the area we're working in, where our six or seven jobs are, and we're going to be anywhere between 10,000 to 12,000 feet.
Wow.
Roughly.
And how far is the hotel from where you're actually going to be working on site? Is it a couple of miles? I mean, I'm sure somebody will be taking you back and forth.
I think it was multiple hotels, anywhere between 15 minutes to an hour commute one way.
And you have power at the hotels, I assume.
Yes.
We assume too.
And I think the local government down there, they told us yesterday that the governor down there has a little hand in this, and he's providing some government employees, I think, to drive us around to shuttle us.
Which will make it easier, because the other part of the problem is you don't know where you're going. I mean, it's not like you can plug it into a GPS, because after a certain point, that's not going to work for you anymore either.
No, and I don't think our driving styles are the same either. I don't know if we could drive down there.
What are you expecting to see from the project perspective when you get there? Because you guys are kind of the last leg of this project. So a lot of, I would guess, the basic infrastructure you mentioned a few minutes ago has kind of already been done for you.
They've told us the locals have set the poles and installed the anchors. So you need all that to start. I believe we're pulling out the wire by hand and stringing it by hand, climbing every pole, doing everything that we would do here. We're going to be doing it on hooks. Everything we're going to be doing is de-energized. And then the local power company will be basically pulling up the last span to the hot pole to energize everything once our side of it is complete.
So you guys come in, finish up all of that work, and then they come in, and as they rightly should, because it's their village. I mean, you should want them to be the last ones. Now, is it connected to like a substation? Is a substation having to be built? Because I have no idea how all of that stuff kind of comes together. You don't just string wire from a pole and then flip a switch. It still all has to connect to something.
Right. And they already have main lines run. They just had no obligation to string new wire, new poles to connect these utilities. Like here, if you build a subdivision, we have an obligation to serve you if you're in our territory.
Ah.
There, they have no obligation. That's why those communities don't have power now. So we're putting that backbone in for them up to the existing power lines that are there now.
It's comparable to what happened in the early 1900s around here. Your densely populated areas, the investor-owned companies went after the densely populated areas for the revenue because they could pick up more customers per mile. That's where the co-ops came in and concentrated on the rural areas to get the farmers to get.
So they weren't left out in the cold, so to speak.
Right. It's more or less the same thing that's happening where we're going in Bolivia. We're picking up the farm country, the rural areas.
So you mentioned that you guys have joined a gym trying to kind of get ready. What about packing? I mean, have you been given a list of these are kind of the kinds of clothes? Because is it going to be hot? Is it going to be cold? And you're leaving September 3rd. Do they have seasons there like we do? I bet you guys have Googled more about Bolivia since you found out you were going than you probably ever thought you would have in your entire lives.
Yeah, from what we've been told, the seasons are flip-flopped. So we're going to be arriving roughly springtime. I believe it's late spring.
Nice.
So it should be in the 60s during the day and mid-40s at night. So no freezing temperatures, but no extreme heat either.
You mentioned earlier that you guys are coming from this particular office and there are other ones coming from other offices. I know there are others going from other cooperatives. Do you know who any of them are? Have you guys all gotten together to have like a meet and greet or any of that sort of thing?
Yes, we've had a couple meetings now down at Palmyra where the school is that we go to. So we've been able to meet everybody. And through the years, through going to the apprenticeship, I've met several of the guys. Through the Lyman's Rodeo, I've met several of the guys. So over the years, I kind of knew some of them already.
And even Storm Restoration.
Are they all as excited? I mean, is everybody kind of like the same level of nervousness versus, man, we really just can't wait to get going and get there and do this?
I hope so.
I think everybody's on the same page.
What are you most looking forward to? Is there one thing that you're like, man, I can't wait to get there and what?
I'm looking forward to the inauguration when we build the power line to where we get to see them turn the power on. I'd like to see the reaction from the villagers.
And I'm the same. I can't wait to see their faces.
And that's not even the only piece, because you were telling me before we turned the mics on that while that's an important part of it, there are other things that you guys, other jobs, so to speak, that you're going to be doing while you're there in addition to that last leg, right?
I think it's 6 or 7 different locations we're going to be working. So 6 or 7 line extensions, as we would call them. We're just going to be there when the local power company pulls up the last span of wire to a hot pole and energizes that particular piece of line to feed that particular town or village. We're only going to be there to witness one of those. But we are going to be building, I think, 6 or 7.
But you're still, you're going to be instrumental in getting all the rest of them done. You're only just going to get to see one of them happen in real time.
Right, right. I think altogether there's 11 miles worth of line over, I think, 6 or 7 different projects.
And right at 100 poles, if not a little bit more. Yeah.
So how long are you guys going to be there?
It's 18 days, I think.
Approximately, give or take how travel goes to and from.
Because that's the other thing, you're traveling internationally. Flights can get delayed.
And especially the flight, once we get into Bolivia, being how it's a developing nation, that flight is not guaranteed. Leaving that first city we arrive in, it may be a bus trip. So we don't even know if we have a flight to help out on the time constraints. So our travel may be extended even further if we have to stick to bus travel.
Yeah, because it's not like you're flying in and out of Dulles where they have the regular schedule and they know the planes are coming. When you're flying into some of these countries, you just got to wait till the next plane gets there, and it might be running late from somewhere else, or it could have run into problems or any number of things. So you just kind of are at the mercy of the airport, so to speak.
Yes, we could be traveling well over 24 to 36 hours before we actually get to our first hotel.
Cody, I understand that you are a new dad of sorts. So you've got a family at home, a young family at home. How do they feel about you going not just to Bolivia, but being gone for several weeks?
Yeah, my wife, she's excited for me to go. but she's nervous for me to go at the same time because we're also working on our house, and it's going to be done here soon too. So I have a lot on my plate at the moment, but she doesn't want me to miss this opportunity, and of course I don't want to either, and I want to be there to help the communities down there.
And you're still not even 100% certain what kind of communications you're going to be able to have when you get there either, whether your cell phones are going to work, whether you're going to have landlines that you can call her cell phone. So you're going to have to kind of play that by ear, I would guess, when you get there.
Yes. We've talked a little bit with Ryan White. He's going to be communicating things as much as he can through social media. So I'm hoping at least she can keep up with that and see everybody's still okay.
So what about you, Brian? Do you have family here that's thinking that's a great idea, but they're a little nervous for you to be leaving?
I've got a wife and two young kids, a boy and a girl. I don't think they quite understand. My daughter at 4 doesn't quite understand where I'm going. My son has got a pretty good grasp on it, but I don't think they're real excited about me leaving. And like you said, hopefully contact can be maintained. We've been told it's fairly reliable in the certain areas we're staying, and then obviously further out and more rural area you get, maybe like where we're working,
might not necessarily
have contact with anybody.
Well, and it's weird too, and you guys probably are familiar with this because of storm outages, is a lot of times you can get through to somebody on the internet a whole lot easier than you can on an actual phone line. You see that when you have these big emergency things that are going on. They say, don't try to call your family member, send them a text or post something on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or one of those things. So you should probably, worst case scenario, you should at least be able to use Messenger and Facebook back and forth, or direct message on Instagram or something along those lines.
We're hoping so. If anything, I do believe the hotels have landlines from what they said yesterday in one of our meetings.
We've talked about Ryan going, and again, Ryan did a show and talked about what his goals are when he's there. Are you guys going to try and do your own? We joked right before we turned on the mics. I asked if you were going to have GoPro cameras attached to your hats the whole time you were there. And do you want to have your own little personal video journey of this trip?
I'm hoping to document it as best I can, to show my kids, to show friends and family. Matter of fact, I plan on going and getting something now that we've had that conversation so that I have something available to take to where I can look back and see it all again.
Yeah, I plan on doing the same thing now. A lot of my family and friends and stuff, they don't really realize what we do on a day-to-day basis. So if I could document it all, especially in a place like Bolivia, it would bring a little light to what we actually do for a living.
Look at him making a little pun. He's going to bring a little light to what they do for a living. I hope you guys will come back and have another conversation with me when your trip is over so you can tell me a little bit about what happened. I hope you have a safe trip, and I look forward to talking to you guys when you get back.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.